my wife's former church, which is very similar to our church, but it's not the same than ministering with your church family and worshiping. So we, both of us, a whole week couldn't wait for this day to come to just be with you all once again. Just want to follow up on one thing with this Wednesday night's reclamation service. Pray for good weather, and if the weather is bad, we will obviously have it here in the sanctuary instead. Still same time, 6:30. Keep in mind, 6:30, not 7, 6:30. But what we are doing, for those who would like to, Tuesday night, the night before, at 6:30, we're just going to meet at the park right by the gazebo, and we're just going to have a prayer walk, just a time of walking on those grounds and just praying. Praying that God fertilize the soil in his presence and his spirit, that when we come together as a body and worship him that night, people are going to be touched. And what our plan is, as we've been sharing, in honoring of several visions, we are going to out there and just worship. Just going to start worshiping through music. And you will be released, and you are free to minister to whomever you feel led to minister to. We will have Bible Promise books made available. And at some point during the evening, we're going to have communion right on the grounds. So pray for those things. This is our chance to really make a difference. They might be drawn to the music, but it's your touch that's going to be the one that impacts them. And the presence of God through you and in what we are doing as a body. So please pray, come, invite, even if you just tell your neighbor, hey, we're just doing a concert, a church concert. Come, invite somebody, and as the Holy Spirit leads you to go pray with people or just simply talk with them, encourage them, well, however the Holy Spirit leads you. But we want his presence to speak into not just our lives, but everyone who gets out there. And we'll be prepared spiritually for that. So this is what's going on. You are welcome to join us on Tuesday at 6:30 to just pray over the ground for a half hour, hour, however the Holy Spirit leads, and then we will come together. And if you are available to help with transporting some supplies, such as equipment, that night, early around 5:30, let me know, because I'm still trying to identify what we need, what we're allowed to bring from the town, how much we can bring. So if you are able to help me transport some stuff, let me know today or before Wednesday, and I should know by tomorrow what we're going to be doing. So we're just excited about this ministry opportunity on Wednesday. But right now, let's give God glory for his word. If you would raise your Bibles with me, let's just thank him for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Now, with those same Bibles, I would like you today to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 9 right now. Other than last week, obviously we weren't here, so we weren't able to continue this series last week. But today is the last part of this Jesus the Christ series. We talked about in the first part, when we stand in faith with the crucified Christ, what that means to us. We talked about how our faith journey, what distance it goes to, and how we respond. Then we talked about what it means to stand with the resurrected Christ and what that means for us in our faith journey. But now we're going to take it a step further. Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead, and he ascended to the Father's right hand. He ascended, or glorified, if you like to use that word, in its place. But he's the crucified Christ, he was the resurrected Christ, and he is the glorified Christ. And today we're going to start talking about what it means when I stand with Christ, the glorified Christ, in my life, and what that means to me. So beginning Ephesians 4, 9 through 13. Now this expression, he ascended. What does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens. Basically, Jesus descended into hell. We read in Isaiah, he stole the key of eternal hell, of eternal death from hell itself. And he, in rising up as the resurrected Christ, he brought new life, and now he's ascended. He's the glorified Christ. And in doing so, he did it so that he might fulfill all things, everything. And when the Bible uses the word all, Bible means all. Not some, not a few, all. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for what? The equipping of the saints. That should sound very familiar to you. For the equipping of the saints for the service of God, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. What was that purpose? To build this body up. The children of God to be built up as one in Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to full maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? Simply put, as we are being formed in the image of Christ, and it is a faith journey. See, when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I receive the crucified Christ as my Savior, and I commit to having His Spirit within me, teach me, lead me, edify me, build me, direct me in making Him Lord of every aspect of my life, my faith journey begins and grows towards maturity. And to the measure, what is the measure? What is the standard? The standard is Christ Himself. Bible says we are being formed in the image of Christ. We are to mature into that. So every day that I grow closer to God, I'm growing closer to the image of who Christ is. I'm becoming more Christ-like. That's why we talk a lot about, as a church, as people, we need to grow to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. That is our desire. That is our passion. And we do that by being equipped and equipping one another, edifying one another, building one another. How do we do that? In the power of what Jesus did and what Jesus has done for us. Now, what does it mean when I stand with the ascended Christ, with the glorified Christ? When I declare that Jesus not only was crucified, Jesus not only was resurrected, but he was glorified and he ascended to the Father's right hand. Well, let's look at some points. Number one, he sits at the right hand of God. What does that mean to me? Well, Mark 16, 19 says, so then the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven and sat down in the right hand of God. Matthew 19, 28. So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What is that in reference to? He's talking to the 12 disciples that you will be there as my pillars too. The disciples of my pillar. But he's also talking to us. See, we are called in Scripture co-heirs with Christ in his kingdom. So as a co-heir with Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, guess who also gets to sit up there? Guess who also gets to sit with Jesus as a co-heir to the kingdom. That's why we're trying to instill in our heads and in our hearts and in our minds and our souls that we are not the walking wounded. We are not the spiritual paupers, the ho-hummers, the ones walking around with our head down. Because if we are like that, why in the world would anyone want to believe in the ascended Christ? Why should they commit to the ascended Christ, to the crucified Christ, to the resurrected Christ? What would be the difference? I don't know about you, but I am tired of seeing Christians walking around defeated. And you know whose fault it is? It's our fault as a church for not equipping them with what they need, with the knowledge and encouraging them and building them and leading them to apply that knowledge of Scripture and what that means. To provide that opportunity to walk in the power of that faith, of the resurrected, the ascended Christ. To let them realize you are a prince and a princess in heaven. And you belong there. Because the devil, who is a liar, wants every one of us to think we are not worthy because of our shame and our guilt. But guess what? When I stand with the ascended Christ, He's telling me, guess what? You belong right next to me. You belong with me. There's a place for you that is yours. You deserve to be there, because not because of anything you did, but because you received what I did. You believed on me. You accepted me. You made a choice to walk with me. You worked hard to stay true to your faith in spite of your imperfections. You trusted in me. You deserve to be up here now because what you allowed me to do in your life and the courage that you've shown in doing those things. So recognizing that He sits at the right hand of God, I recognize that I'm there too when I stand with the ascended Christ, that I belong there too. There's a place for me. Second thing, and I love this one. In standing with the ascended Christ, I recognize and realize He took captivity captive. I love that. He took captivity captive. Ephesians 4:8, one verse down from where your Bible was, where you open up your Bibles to. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, listen to this, He led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. So He took captivity, the thing that's been a stronghold in my life, the thing that's been so difficult to deal with, the struggles I had, the chains that I've been under, the insecurity I've been feeling, all the shame, all the guilt, all the gook, all the nonsense, all the stuff that this world has taught me and made me feel about myself, all the spiritual bondage I allowed myself to be placed under, He took that captive. That as I stand with the ascended Christ, they're His prisoners and no longer hindering me. You think about it. If I have been a prisoner in a jail cell on some remote land, Jesus walked in there and captured my captives and opened the door. And guess what He did when He says, and gave them gifts, given us gifts? He not only took the captives and captured them and set us free, but He gave us what was theirs. He gave us what actually belongs to us that they took from us. He gave us back the grounds. He took the stronghold and made it and gave it its own stronghold and set us free. He took it, my insecurity, and made it captive and gave me the gift of boldness and courage. And He gave me His prophetic words and all the gifts of His Spirit. And the fruit of His Spirit. He gave me those things when He took captivity captive. They no longer can be a struggle to me. You know how they become an issue? If I decide to walk back in there and shut the door on myself and continue to go back to that place. That's why I am a new creation in Christ. Think about this. When Jesus was resurrected, He said, don't touch me. I haven't been glorified. And when He was glorified then he was glorified. Well, if I keep going back there, am I allowing him to glorify himself in me? The glory of the glorified Christ, is he coming alive in me if I keep going to the old? I am a new creation. I need to walk, talk, act like that. Believe that. Everything I'm sharing with you right now, I'm not saying we are going to be perfect at it. But this needs to be our mindset. This has to be our attitude, that we're going to press into that. Understand that captivity wants to take us captive, but he took it, so we need to quit asking it back and trying to go in there to release it. When I stand with him, I recognize he took control away and gave us control in him and authority and power in him, because my hope is in him. My strength is in him. He leads me. I walk with him. And wherever he go, we just declared, you know, not my will, but yours. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. I go with you because you set me free. Third point, in standing with the ascended or glorified Christ, I realized he sent the promise of the Father. He sent. You know this, most of us, Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. He told them, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, told them, you go to Jerusalem and you wait. And my Spirit, my promise of the Father is coming. After he ascended, his Spirit came and they were filled. And what happens next changed the world. Changed everything. This is the power that we have in standing with the ascended Christ. This is what he's offered us, the gifts that he's offered us that we talked about. This is part of that gift. The fourth point, which goes along with the third, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit was poured out onto us. We were immersed, not from the ground up, but from above. When we baptize into salvation as symbolic of new life in Christ, in standing with the crucified and the resurrected Christ, we immerse underneath and we rise up. Well, when we stand with the ascended Christ, we are baptized with his Holy Spirit. He dumps it from above. He pours it upon us from above. We are immersed in it from head to toe. Completely saturated. It's an infilling. And when we are infilled in his Holy Spirit, guess what we have? We have the knowledge of God. We have the wisdom of God. This is not going to be in the notes up there, but I was reading this morning, and I just want to share this with you. It's in 1 Corinthians. I absolutely love this. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed, 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So when we are immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's pouring his Spirit on us so we get to operate, move in the knowledge of what's on God's heart, what's on God's mind, his desires, his passions, his compassions, all the things of God. we are dwelling within us because it's His Spirit that comes alive. And that's the beauty. And this is where so many Christians miss the mark. This is where so many of us stop and don't want to move forward in it because we're scared. We get nervous. When God pours out His Spirit, He's going to pour out His Spirit. He's not going to drop it on you with a little drop. He's going to pour it on us. How many times have we prayed for revival? And you ask any Christian in this world, would you want a revival to happen? Yes, absolutely. We pray for revival. We want revival to take place. Really? And I'm sure if I asked every one of us in this room that question, you'd all say, yes, we need a revival. Then why do we get scared when God actually starts to move? We want revival, but Lord, what we really mean is we want nice revival services that make us feel good, that have up music and excitement and fill the place, but we don't want you to move too much because it might, you know, cause us to do things, say things, act in ways, and be changed in ways we don't want to be because we like the way we are. And I say this jokingly, but that's reality. We talk about revival, but as soon as the spirit of revival starts to overflow or pour, people back off. I'm going to be bold enough to say this. Those who left this church in recent months were not comfortable with the overflow of the presence of God that was beginning to happen in this church. To a person, that's what they said. And we are not doing anything outside of the Spirit of God moving. And we will not move unless the Spirit moves us. So we want revival. We've been praying for revival. Guess what? We're beginning to get into it here. And we pray it extends every time we meet, every time we gather, even in the park Wednesday night. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming alive, the heart of God being poured out through His children. It's time for us to wake up in these things. Next point, which again goes along with this, is we are endued with power as we stand with the ascended Christ. What does that mean? We manifest. His power is manifested in us. His supernatural powers. Guess what? Those are the gifts of His Spirit coming alive in us. It's everything about Him. Being exactly what God has called us to be. Doing exactly what Jesus did. Because He didn't just go tell them about the kingdom of God. He led everyone to experience the kingdom of God. And He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. I want to share with you one more scripture out of 1 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians. And this is Paul writing. This won't be in your notes. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. This is verse 4 of chapter 2. They were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We experience, when we're endowed with the power of God and it's working through us, guess what? There is legitimacy to the words we speak. We keep saying this is a show me generation. Show me. Don't tell me. We've got a generation of young adults and youth who will not just out of sheer age agree with everything an elder would say. They will not respect authority just out of word, but you prove it to me. You show me it's real, then I'll respect you. You show me it's true, you prove it to me, and I'll believe it and I'll accept it. This is the generation we are in. And so how are we going to reach this generation without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being endowed and have His Spirit manifest within us in what we do, with healings, with signs, with miracles and wonders? I can't stop talking about how many healings have taken place on the softball field on Monday nights. And those, many of those on our team are not part of this church, but we invited them and we're ministering to them. And they're seeing the hand of God at work. We pray Wednesday night, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's going to come out and we're going to see miracle healings right on that pier and right in that park. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, our families, our neighbors, our even our enemies will know who God is, and he is real when this happens. They had all of a sudden the boldness to witness, the boldness to do things they were never thought they could do on their own. Unfortunately, many in the book of Acts, we read when God's Spirit was manifested, many of the Christians in that first church said, you guys can handle the Holy Spirit. You guys can have him. We'll just sit back and watch you guys. But the Holy Spirit was poured out on all, for all, for all. And we can receive him, and we can make a difference. Because the ones that are the churches that are moving in his power. I read an article, and I shared this with maybe a couple of you recently, where in our current state in this country, they're saying that churches need to loosen up, quit being so old school minded, so rigid. You know, we need to be, as churches, more open minded, more accepting of things, you know, and kind of whitewash the gospel a little bit, the word of God a little bit. And that's how your church is going to grow. In this article, what it showed is the churches that are trying to be too seeker-friendly, too much whitewashing the gospel, are actually the ones who are decreasing in number and the ones who are staying true to the word of God, moving in the power of God, are the ones that are increasing. Because people need something tangible. It's not what they want, it's what they need. And sometimes what we say we want, when we get it, is it really what we need? We might hear someone say, I want this. I want a happy service. And we have a happy service. But what happens when the service ends? What we need is a powerful, life-changing encounter with Jesus through his presence, because then that's something tangible that a person can take with them in everything they do. That's what we need, not what we want. The other point, he gave us, as we stand with the ascended Christ, he gave us insight into Scripture. I love this. Luke 24:44-47. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. Disciples, all of a sudden, their eyes were open. Everything started to really make sense. That they might comprehend the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And what do we know when Jesus says, go and preach the gospel? We spent some time on that a few weeks ago. Preaching isn't talking. It's sharing, but it's also demonstrating, healing the sick, the lame. It's opening blind eyes. It's casting out demons. It's boldly taking authority in the name of the Lord. All those things. That's what preaching, that's the way Jesus preached. He didn't talk alone. He did. He let his actions, the power of God in him, back up his preaching. And all, so as the Holy Spirit, as we stand with the ascended Christ, and the Holy Spirit's coming alive that he sent, and he gave us, in us, our understanding of who Jesus is, our understanding of the Word of God, is meant to increase. and its application is meant to grow and become a tool. And we start walking, living in the Word of God, not acting like we know something, but moving and living because we do. We have the knowledge because the Spirit of God is living within us. Our eyes will be open. Next point, as we stand with the ascended Christ, we are no longer tarrying. Tarrying means to kind of hurry up and wait. We're no longer waiting. The waiting time is over. We can move the moment we are led. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, and as being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He told them to wait. The disciples did not change the world, did not start moving on their own till the Holy Spirit of God fell upon them. But guess what? As I stand with the ascended Christ, the Holy Spirit is in me. And I'm not waiting for the Holy Spirit anymore. He is living in me. And as I grow in my relationship with God, in my relationship with Jesus, in learning to hear and feel and know when the Holy Spirit is prompting me, I'm moving like that. I'm not going to feel his prompting and go, well, let me sit on it for 5 days. I'm going to know when I'm in a line at an airport and the Holy Spirit say, you need to go pray for that person. I'm going to get up and pray. When we're standing at the Keyport Pier on Wednesday and the Holy Spirit say, hey, go say hi to that person, we're not going to sit there and pray about it. We're going to know and we're going to go. The waiting is over. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have his fruit and we have every spiritual blessing, which leads to the last point, Ephesians 1:3. And I love this verse. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every, just like the word all. When he says every, he means every spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ. We've been given all these things. There's nothing we need that we have not been given. It's all made available to us. We may not have everything we want, but that's not what we need. Not what we need. We've been given everything we need, and we walk in that. So we thank God for those things. We thank him for those things, and we give him glory for those things. Because I can have and receive those things and move in all these things as I stand with the ascended Christ. I am seated in the heavenly places. I have been given every gift, everything I need. I have the heart of God, the mind of Christ available to me in his Holy Spirit. I can move in that. And I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So now if I were to ask you personally, why is it important for you to make that choice to stand with the ascended Christ boldly? No longer just waiting, but moving in faith. What would you say? Why would it be important for you to stand with that ascended Christ today? Because if I only stand with the crucified Christ, I'm limiting God and what he can do in my life. Yes, I've got my place in heaven. But there's so much more that I can do on earth. There's so much more I'm meant to live in and walk in. Because I'm denying the fullness of the Holy Spirit moving in me. And if I stand with only the crucified Christ and neglect the Holy Spirit coming upon me, I'm still limiting. But as a Christian, as one who becomes whole in Christ, because remember, the word Christ means anointed or Messiah, not a last name. I live and walk and breathe and operate and move in the fullness of God in my life. There are no barriers or limitations. There's nothing God cannot do in and through
when I walk with a crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ, receiving all those attributes within me. Too many churches, too many people get stuck on one or the other. But our character grows in all three. It's only one Christ. Don't get me wrong. But the problem is some of our theology gets us stuck in one way or another and puts mental and heart limitations. But in Christ, in Jesus the Christ, the wholeness of who he is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there are no limitations in what can happen in our lives and through our lives. This is where we stand on. This is who we stand with. And this is the Christ that is alive in me. And I pray every day he comes more and more alive in me. I'd like you to bow your heads right now with me.
Father, we thank you this morning. And right now we ask that you, Holy Spirit, just speak to us right now. Just speak to us. Just take a few moments and let the Holy Spirit minister to you.